Before following any of the advice on this recording, always consult with a medical doctor. Also, be sure to verify the research in this recording with a medical doctor. This research was gathered by me and is not meant to be absolutely authoritative. So, check the facts. It is dangerous to abuse prescription drugs or to take them if they are not meant for you. Sometimes people taking certain medications can become addicted unintentionally, especially if they're not following the instructions on the medications. Opioids, which are general painkillers used to treat pain, attach to protein in the brain and spinal cord, known as the opioid receptors, and drastically change the way your body experiences pain. Chronic use and abuse can lead to addiction. Common opioids are Vicodin, Oxycontin, morphine, which is for more severe pain, and codeine. These drugs are meant to be slowly released into the body, so if they're abused, for example by being crushed and snorted, they are automatically released into the body in a high dose. This can lead to chances of overdosing, which can cause severe respiratory problems and death. These drugs should absolutely not be taken with antihistamines, sedatives, or sleeping pills. Because these drugs slow down breathing, the opioids may cause breathing to completely stop. When coming off of the drugs, you may find yourself becoming physically dependent on them, which is not the same as being addicted. Abruptly coming off of them can cause symptoms of withdrawal, including restlessness, muscle and bone pain, insomnia, diarrhea, vomiting, cold flashes, and involuntary leg movements. Addiction can be treated with a number of different medications, including those that block opioid receptors and synthetic opioids that help with symptoms of withdrawal. Let's talk about central nervous system, or CNS, depressants. They slow the brain function and can also be used as an anesthetic. They come in three groups: barbiturates, which are sedatives such as Meberal and Nembutal. Also, benzodiazepines, which are minor tranquilizers such as Xanax, Valium, and Prozum. They can be used for stress, anxiety, panic attacks, and convulsions. And the third category is sleeping pills, which are non-benzodiazepines and therefore have a lesser risk of causing dependence. Barbiturates and benzodiazepines should not be mixed with other substances that can cause drowsiness, such as alcohol, opioids, or over-the-counter cold and allergy medicines, because they can drastically slow down the heart rate and respiratory functions, and this can be fatal. Suddenly stopping the use of CNS depressants has a chance of causing seizures. Since the depressants slow down the brain function, there is a chance that there may be a rebound very quickly, which could cause seizures. When considering coming off of the medication, this should be handled very carefully, and you should seek the advice of a medical doctor before doing so. In addition to medical attention, it is advisable to consider CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, in order to improve your quality of life. It can also help you cope with overcoming the addiction and living a healthier lifestyle without the use of prescription medications. Help can come in the form of inpatient and outpatient therapy. Turning now to CNS, or central nervous system, stimulants, we find that they increase the production of dopamine and norepinephrine in the brain, which are responsible for blood pressure, blood sugar, rate of breathing, increased attention, energy, and alertness. They can also give off a feeling of euphoria. Because of their potential for abuse, the number of ailments they're used to treat has decreased. They're most commonly prescribed for narcolepsy, ADHD, which is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and depression. But only when all other methods have failed. By the way, for non-medical treatment of some of these conditions, you may want to visit betterlivingwithhypnosis.com. At that website, you will find numerous hypnosis recordings, which can be used for treatment, but only after consulting a medical professional. That's betterlivingwithhypnosis.com. CNS stimulants have been known to be used in order to just get high and to increase performance. Abuse has been known to cause cardiovascular failure. If they are mixed with other drugs such as over-the-counter cold medicines or antidepressants, they have been known to increase the effectiveness of the original medication, but this can lead to a dangerously high blood pressure, which can lead to heart attack, among many other conditions. Treatment to the addiction of CNS stimulants consists first of slowly getting off the medication while carefully monitoring the withdrawal symptoms. Let's turn our attention now to alcohol and alcoholism. Alcoholism is a disease characterized by the chronic dependence on alcohol. This may affect interactions with your family, friends, coworkers, and schoolmates. Alcohol abuse is the excessive use of alcohol, but not the dependence on it. Dependence on alcohol also creates compulsion. Therefore, it is possible that you may feel unable to stop drinking. If you need help with controlling your intake of alcohol, visit betterlivingwithhypnosis.com, and there you will find a hypnosis recording available to help you overcome your dependence on alcohol. But before using this or any other hypnosis recording, always consult with your physician first. Some symptoms of alcoholism include inability to drink in moderation, keeping alcohol in strange places, problems with relationships, friends, work, etc., excessive drinking in public and private, irritability when alcohol is not available, and physical symptoms of withdrawal when not drinking, such as sweating, shaking, and nausea. Chemicals affected by alcohol use include GABA, gamma-aminoburetic acid, which controls impulsiveness, also glutamate, and dopamine. Over time, with excessive drinking, these chemicals in the brain begin to deplete, and more alcohol is needed to restore the effects that they gave off, including feelings of happiness and excitement. It is thought that alcoholism has a few contributing factors such as genetics, the way your body works, emotional state, and other psychological factors such as low self-esteem or depression. Additionally, cultural and social features such as others around you who are drinking and the way alcohol is promoted and depicted in the media can have an effect on whether someone becomes an alcoholic. Men are more likely to become dependent on alcohol than women. If you start drinking at an early age, you are more likely to develop problems later in life with alcoholism. According to research, family history of alcoholism can greatly contribute to developing a problem with alcoholism. It is often difficult to admit that you have an alcohol problem, but the complications that arise from excessive drinking during a lifetime can be severe. If you find that you or someone you know has a problem with drinking, it is very important to seek medical attention as soon as possible to prevent any further damage from being done. Some of the possible side effects of excessive drinking include liver disease. The potential is permanent scarring and deterioration of the liver and its tissues. You may also face issues with your stomach and other digestive problems. It may wear away at the lining of your stomach and cause damage to the pancreas, which is responsible for regulating your metabolism. Your heart may become weakened due to the increased blood pressure and damage to its muscles due to heavy drinking. This can result in strokes and heart attacks. Your bones may suffer as well. Excessive drinking can result in the thinning of bones. The damage done on your nervous system is very serious as well. Excessive drinking can result in numbness of the hands and feet, disorderly thinking, and dementia. Drinking can also increase your chances of getting many different kinds of cancer, including mouth, throat, esophagus, larynx, colon, liver, rectum, and breast cancer. In addition to the health complications with alcoholism, it is known to cause up to 85,000 deaths in the United States alone each year. Alcohol is also responsible for nearly half of all traffic-related deaths. It has been linked to a higher divorce rate, domestic disturbances, lower work and social performance, elevated crime rates, and elevated suicide rates. Let's talk about treatment for alcoholism. The diagnosis is done through the criteria of the American Psychological Association's DSM, or Diagnostic and Statistical Manual on Mental Disorders. The criteria must be met, which include tolerance, withdrawal, binge drinking, failed attempts at quitting, sacrificing social surroundings for alcohol, and continuing use after knowledge of potential harm. Admitting to a problem can be difficult, and oftentimes when a doctor suspects alcoholism, he or she may want to share this information with family or friends. Doctors may also question drinking habits to determine whether they are truly unhealthy. Alcohol suppresses your central nervous system. Therefore, if too much is taken in at one time, there is the possibility of a life-threatening coma. CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, and support groups such as AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, may be helpful. There are drugs available to help suppress symptoms of withdrawal and cravings to drink, but they should be used along with therapy. Support is very important during the time of quitting alcohol use. Support groups may involve friends or family members because these groups have been known to have a better success rate when they consist of friends or family members. Continued support is important both from yourself and family members after you have stopped drinking. At any moment, the problem may return, and you will find yourself once again having difficulty stopping. So willpower is important, as well as having the support of family and friends during the challenging times. This will greatly decrease the chances of relapse. All right, you've got a lot of information in your mind now. A lot of information that's come to you, a lot of information you've heard from me. There's a lot going on in your mind. Why don't we take a moment now? Make sure you're not driving during this. If you're driving, don't listen to this part. Do this part later. But if you're not driving, what I want you to do is close your eyes and let all those thoughts come to you, all those thoughts that are floating around in your head, let them come to you now. And I want you to start seeing them become organized. And I want you to start seeing them happening in your life. I want you to see them playing themselves out in your life somehow. All these ideas you have, I want you to find a place for them in your mind, whether in terms of a plan, or in terms of changing something about yourself immediately, or in terms of, it could even be a vacation you're thinking of taking. But those ideas that are coming to you now as a result of listening to this material, what I want you to do with them right now, I don't want you to write anything right now. I don't want you to overthink anything. I just want you to close your eyes, as long as you're not driving. I want you to close your eyes. And as I'm silent, just use your imagination and let your imagination run wild. See where these ideas will take you. Let these ideas float around in your mind as I'm silent and really let them play out. Just let them go wild in your mind. See where they take you. As I'm silent, do this now. right? Did you enjoy that? Now, probably what happened is initially when you closed your eyes, you thought of a bunch of random thoughts and they didn't make any sense. Maybe some things were coming in that really didn't fit there. Sometimes when I close my eyes, I see all kinds of interesting images that don't have anything to do with what I'm talking about or listening to. But hopefully, after a little while, those images kind of settled down and meaningful images started to show up. Like, aha, that business idea I had, or that vacation I had, or that person I need to tell something to, or something started to develop, or maybe a series of things. When you let your imagination run wild, you often come up with ideas that you will not access if you're beating your head against the wall, if you're trying to figure something out. That's not as effective, usually, as just letting your mind run wild, because eventually your mind is going to settle down and is going to start giving you information that you can actually use. So I hope you use this exercise not only in this program, but outside of it as well. So we're almost halfway through the program, and you're almost there because I want you to write down 5 more points, 5 more things that you got from the program that came to you during the second half of this module. We did this during the first half. Now I want you to do it for the second half. 5 more points that came to you during the second half of this module. Go ahead and write them down now as I'm silent. 5 things that either I said to you or that came to you while you listened. Good. Now, I want you to take point number 1 and elaborate on it as I am silent. Good. Now take point number two and fill it in. Elaborate on it. Point number two, elaborate on the point that you wrote down and make it real for you. Go ahead and involve emotion and a plan if you want to. Elaborate on point number two as I'm silent. Good. Now I want you to elaborate on point number three. Take point number three, what you got from the second half of this module, and elaborate on it as I'm silent. Good. Now take point number four and elaborate on that as I'm silent. All right, now take point number five and elaborate on point number five while I'm silent. Good. So now you have 5 points from halfway through the module, 5 points from the other half of the module, and you're only halfway through the program. You have 10 things with elaboration that you can use once you're done with this program. All right, let's get back to it.